Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. Hi, guys. Hope you're having a wonderful day. If you're new here, a warm welcome. Thank you for checking out my channel. All I ask is that after listening to and or watching the video, if you find you enjoyed it or learned something, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, let's dig in. When 15-year-old Sebastian Rogers enjoyed a colossal-sized popcorn and went bowling with his mother, Katie, and then later dined at the Texas Roadhouse, he likely had no idea that he was going to go missing later that evening or possibly in the early morning hours of Monday, February 26, from the beach area of Hendersonville, Tennessee. He's been missing now for more than 6 weeks. And while his biological father, Seth Rogers, has been out searching nonstop and also hitting the YouTube streets, Sebastian's mother, Katie Proudfoot, and his stepfather, Chris Proudfoot, have not been out searching. They've even moved away from the family home, the home that Sebastian disappeared from and that you would think he would likely return to if he could. Strange moves by a biological mother who's missing her child, a high-functioning autistic child, but a child with special needs. Katie and Chris Proudfoot are now staying in their RV, in a RV park called Yogi Bear near Memphis, Tennessee. And that's Remy in the background, and he must have awakened from his slumber. He's my one-eyed black pirate cat. Well, yesterday, Katie Proudfoot made a surprise appearance on a Reels show called On Patrol Missing. I'm going to share that video with you, but before I do, I wanted to talk about what Katie said and how she came across to me. Once again, Katie turned up on TV without her makeup. This seems to be a departure from how she previously presented herself in public, if we base this on her Facebook photos. In most of those images, she's typically fully made up, coiffed and powder puffed, which begs the question, why isn't she putting on the face paint for these big interviews? Is she simply too distraught over Sebastian being missing to care? And that would be totally understandable. Or is she trying to feign a greater degree of upset than she actually feels? Despite the lack of makeup, Katie still comes across as pretty cool, pretty calm, and pretty poised. We aren't seeing a ton of emotion like you'd expect from a mother whose child is missing. In this latest interview, she does seem to break down a tad at the end when she directly addresses Sebastian and she calls him Bubba. Katie mentions that she and Chris have been praying for Sebastian's return. So they're praying, but they're not actually hitting the pavement to physically look for Sebastian or to hand out flyers. Now, if I were her, I'd be praying and out looking. But that's just me. And by the way, I would do that for my cat, Remy. So it's not just for a child. I would do that for my soulmate cat. Katie does finally share some details about Sebastian in this interview. She says he loves animals, he loves fishing, he loves dancing, and he loves video games. But she also mentions him being temperamental at times and says he runs like the Naruto anime character. These last two details seem, to me at least, to shade Sebastian. They aren't really complimentary, and I don't think they add a lot to help people who are out looking for Sebastian. So why even say that? Now, while Katie does seem to get a little emotional at the end of the interview, she's still not crying any actual tears. It seems like she's not able to muster the salty drops from her eyes. I mean, I cry at the end of sad movies. If it were my child, I would be so distraught. But yes, everybody's different. Okay. I would think that at just 6 weeks out, Katie, as a mother with a missing special needs child, would be prone to crying. Now, the best part of this video is when we get a glimpse of Sebastian and we get to hear his voice, get a feel for his vibe, see his spirit. So now, without further ado, I'm going to play it for you.
Find a missing Tennessee teenager. During the early morning hours of February 26, 2024, 15-year-old Sebastian Wayne Drake Rogers disappeared from his home in Hendersonville, Tennessee. That's about 20 miles north of Nashville. He's not been seen or heard from since. And Sebastian is now the subject of an Amber Alert. Joining us now is Sebastian's mom, Katie Proudfoot. Katie, thanks for being with us under what must be very difficult circumstances. First of all, how are you and your family holding up?
I would say that this isn't a tragedy that we would wish anyone to ever experience. We're keeping our faith, and we're praying every day that we're going to find Sebastian.
What's the latest on the search?
So law enforcement is exploring any and all possibilities. They're communicating daily with us about updates and the statuses. We have faith that all the law enforcement agencies involved are doing everything that they can, and we're going to find Sebastian and bring him home.
We know the most important thing right now is to get the word out about Sebastian. What would you like our viewers to know about your son?
Sebastian, he is high-functioning autistic. He loves animals. He loves video games. He loves fishing.
You're so goofy.
He's typically a very, very sweet boy. He can be quite temperamental, though, if he's overstimulated or if he's stressed out. He has a unique run. He runs like the Naruto anime character. When he's excited, he likes to dab, and he loves music. He loves to dance.
That's all very helpful information. Now, if Sebastian is out there watching, what would you like to say to your son?
I would say, Bubba, we love you. We all love you so much. Wherever you are, just know that we are not going to stop. We're going to keep searching. We're going to find you. We're going to bring you home. And if you ever get an opportunity, find a phone, find a safe adult, call 911. But I'd also like to ask our community to please, please, please keep searching your properties. Keep sharing his flyer. If you know something or you see something, please say something. Call the law enforcement immediately.
We're going to do everything we can to help find him.
Thank you.
I find it odd that she cuts herself off from directly addressing Sebastian pretty quickly, and she then switches over to asking people in the community to look in their sheds, in their barns, look everywhere. Also, she doesn't mention how exactly they can contact the authorities. Now, the program does, but she doesn't. You think she'd be like, please do this, please do that, here's the number, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they said, well, we're going to share all that so you don't have to. But you think she'd be eager to get it all out there and be sure that she stated it. Now, we also know that Sebastian's father, Seth Rogers, has taken his polygraph, the one that Nancy Grace offered to set up for him. He mentioned on some channel that he didn't have the results yet because the experts hadn't yet graded it. Well, let me tell you guys, I have taken a polygraph, and I took it for the FBI. It was quite a few years ago, and it was when I thought I might want to work for them. I'd already passed like a very long written test that I had to fly to Cleveland to take. I'd also been interviewed by multiple agents around a table. At this point, it was just I had to do a trigger pull, and I'm trying to remember what else, but the polygraph was the really big deal. And let me tell you, there was no delay in the grading of my polygraph. I got the results right then and there. And I can say that if you're showing deception or not, you're going to hear about it right then and there, at least with the FBI. So I think although they told Seth they were going to grade it, I think they already knew whether he was telling the truth or lying. And personally, I'm pretty sure he's telling the truth. But I think what they're really doing is they're putting a show together, and they're going to try to maximize the drama and the suspense before they share the actual results. When I had my one and only polygraph, polygraph. I was sat in a chair, not facing the polygraph expert. He was at a long table, and he was looking at my profile as I was staring down a hallway to a door. I had straps all over me, and I kind of felt trapped in the chair. To be an FBI special agent, at least back then, you could not have smoked pot at least 3 years prior to getting hired. And I hadn't smoked any pot. I have smoked pot. I sound like President Clinton. I have smoked pot, but I hadn't smoked any pot in 3 years. However, the guy I was dating had, and he'd blown some my way. Again, I sound like President Clinton. But seriously, I had not smoked pot. But when the polygrapher guy asked me and I said, no, I hadn't, somehow I believe my guilt for being around this boyfriend of mine and him blowing the smoke my way made me look deceptive. Now, maybe I would have fared better if I would have just fessed up and said, well, I didn't actually smoke it, but I was with someone who did. Maybe my honesty would have been a better way to go instead of me saying, you know, no, I didn't, but knowing in my head he'd blown it my way and I was sort of culpable by being in the room with him. I didn't do it. I swear I didn't do it. But Mr. FBI agent, he was pretty sure I'd done it. He also asked me if I really wanted to work for the FBI. And truthfully, I was having a lot of doubts deep down inside. Because back then, it was a very macho, very masculine environment. I didn't see a lot of women, and wasn't sure how I was going to be affected by this hyper-masculine environment. So when I answered, yes, I do want to work for the FBI, guess what? He saw deception in my words. So by then I was sweating buckets. This guy's tone is getting more and more aggressive. And when he stopped the polygraph, he just ripped into me. He said, you're being deceptive. What a shame, you know, like you came here, you're such a good candidate, but then you go and blow it with all of this stuff. And all I wanted to do was get unstrapped from all this crap, get out the door, run to my car, which is what I did, and let loose with all the emotions I was feeling. I was shaky. I remember very shaky and upset, and I wanted to cry, and I'm pretty sure I did cry. But of course, I didn't want this big macho man to see me cry. I had way too much pride for that. So yeah, I cried over a polygraph, so I'm pretty sure I would cry if I had a missing child. So that's my experience with the polygraph. And this is why I do think they have a use. They can't be used in court, but they definitely can show when somebody's being deceived. Can somebody fool the polygraph? Yes, they can, especially if they're a psychopath. Which, thankfully, I'm not, at least that I'm aware of. That's all for today, and I'll see you next time on Bed Crime Stories.
Green tea!
You're so goofy.
He's typically a very, very...
Green tea!
You're so goofy.
He's typically a very, very...
Green tea!
You're so goofy.
He's typically a very, very...